Illness, sickness is not a very good word. If a person, a human being, is sick, or when he is called a sick person, then obviously he realizes that there is a defect within me, and people see that there's a defect within that person, or they know that there's an issue. And if we look in our everyday lives, and a person has some sort of complaint or issue or problem, a sickness, a cold, or a flu, cough, and other so-called small, you know, pains or aches or difficulties that people go through and experience. So the person then tries, tries that I need to get some cure, some remedy, and he doesn't just sit still and accept the status quo, because the effect of sickness or illness is that the parts of the body say, look, there's a cold, if you have a cold, quickly cure it, otherwise you get a cough, and if you then let the cough carry on, you get asthma, and then it will become TB, tuberculosis, and the sickness gets worse. So what does the person do? A person goes after the cure for the sickness, the remedy, the solution. Everyone has a fikr because life's disturbed and other issues arise, and you have to take time off work or study. A person has to leave his work or her work, and to save a person to save himself from this goes to the doctor to ask for the cure, to get analyzed and assessed and diagnosed. And this is the life, the experience of a lot of people, most people in life. In the same way, we have spiritual sicknesses that have a link to our soul. We have spiritual diseases and illnesses, and their headquarters, you could say, or foundation is the heart, from where they emanate or they affect the heart. So to create an awareness and understanding, Allah Ta'ala has created people who, alhamdulillah, diagnose and are able to give solutions to people's spiritual sicknesses, because this is a dangerous sickness. The inner, the spiritual disease linked to the soul and the heart, if this occurs to a person, then its effect is very severe. And if we compare, then the spiritual sicknesses are worse if a person has tuberculosis or a cold, physical ailment, restricted to the physical body. But if a spiritual illness occurs and it's within a person's heart, continues, increases, and then it doesn't even leave a person's iman. Because Allah Ta'ala says, فَزَادَهُمُ اللَّهُ مَرَضًا. The sickness continues. So ghaflat, negligence, laziness is a very bad sickness. It's a spiritual disease. And how long can a person physically live in this world? Let's ask this question now. If we have physical sicknesses, a person's fair enough, and as he gets older, the age, and then comes the time to depart from the world, and when the angels descend from the heavens and say, what did you send ahead, forward, as a luggage? And what do the people of the world say? The people around us, they have another situation. They say, what have you left behind? The angels say, what have you sent forward? And we ask the person who's dying, what have you left behind for us to share? And the people of the world look behind them. How much wealth has he left for us to consume? And the angels say, how much have you sent ahead? So the real thing is to send ahead before we get there into the hereafter. So the person of understanding and awareness and consciousness, intellect, he knows that the time he should spend on his islah, rectification, because islah, which will be of use to us in the hereafter. So if we strive and make effort here to rectify ourselves, we will attain in the hereafter. The world, it betrays a person. And when a person gets so many years old, you ask the brother, what do you do? He says, I don't do nothing, I'm just retired. You say this, isn't it? MashaAllah, quite a few brothers are sitting here, and they'll laugh and say, I'm retired. Ajib, this is about crying. We shouldn't be laughing, we should be crying over this statement. That, I'm retired, and we laugh it off. We chuckle, I'm just resting and relaxing. What is the message we get from this? That Allah, what is this message that dunya is saying to us? For the sake of Allah, leave us, please. The dunya, the world is saying that you are of no use to us anymore. You have no benefit to us anymore. You are useless, you're bone idle, you're gone too old. So just sit down and be at rest. That we don't need your services. There are people better than you who are coming to us. Why should we hire you? What do we need to do? Why do we need to have you as your services? This is the meaning of retirement. In the world, all lifelong the man's working, striving. And when it comes to the person exceeds a certain age, the dunya says, no, leave it. You go now, go, retire. Be retired now, leave you. I've left you now. And the dunya doesn't even look back at the retired person. It doesn't give a second look to that person who's retired. The dunya. The dunya is not in his pocket, nor in the house, nor in the bank. Everywhere it's gone from all lifelong, he's worked, she's worked. And the person sitting there, retired, and he's you could say, occupied with illnesses and problems and tiredness, fatigue. This is the dunya. That look at the word retirement. Retired. So this is the reality of life, and all of these phases make us more aware of reality. That day and night this is happening. Oh, you foolish person, that you still don't understand what's happening all life long. You're living and you can see people, they're passing through the phase, and when you go ahead forward into the hereafter, and they'll ask you, what did you bring? If you've got these sicknesses, and sicknesses, they are not low in number. If we don't do our islah, rectification, the sicknesses will increase. Allah Ta'ala says the sickness is there, it's present within spiritual illnesses. And from all the spiritual illnesses, one of the most dangerous sicknesses, which multiplies and brings about other sicknesses, there is one. And we don't pay attention to this sickness, to this illness. And it's such a sickness that it brings other illnesses, it multiplies and produces. Yeah? Like we see, for example, you know, the multiplication and fertilization and reproduction, and this creates offspring. The same way this illness creates other illnesses, and the name of this spiritual disease is nifaq, hypocrisy. Allah Ta'ala has kept the names. What is the name of this illness? It's present. It's nifaq, hypocrisy, and it's a severe illness. And from nifaq, you don't have a cold, you don't have a pain in the eye, you don't have pain in the hand, you don't need a painkiller. Totally, physically, the person has energy and health. Rather, he's more healthy. That person. A person who's got nifaq, he's healthy, energetic, walks around, big-headed, broad-chested, broad shoulders. I'm fine. I'm totally fine, because he cannot see his symptoms. And for example, if a person sneezes, you say, he's got a cold, get the cure. If there's a pain in the eye, you say, he's got a pain in the eye, get the cure. Go towards the cure. But this is such a big illness, nifaq, hypocrisy, if we think about it. That what a big illness this is. But we don't know, have I got nifaq within me or not? I don't know, and you don't know, nobody, this person doesn't know, that person. We don't know about ourselves, have we got hypocrisy? What is the punishment? Lift up the Quran, read the Quran, open the Quran and read about the punishment for nifaq. Those people who had hypocrisy, where will they end up? And nifaq, hypocrisy itself is a disease, illness. But the illnesses that it creates and it gives its offspring, the eggs it lays and it multiplies. And they are themselves, each and every one, dangerous. Nifaq. Hypocrisy, it multiplies, it produces other sins. What's the work, the function of nifaq? This is Sahih Hadith I'm explaining. Sahih Hadith. That nifaq, hypocrisy, creates the habit of lying. Lying. It makes the habit of lying. First class, the person lies. Nifaq, hypocrisy, it makes a person break the trust of people. Yeah? And in their provisions or their goods, the person breaks the trust that has been bestowed upon him or her. Look at how big is this illness of nifaq. And it will make a person to other sins. Other illnesses will come. He will lie. He will break the trust. From where to where has the person reached? The nifaq takes a person to shirk. To shirk. To relying other than with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So do we need the cure for this or not? Of course we need the cure. If we don't cure this illness of nifaq, then will we be well afterwards? Allah ta'ala has told us about this sickness and this disease. And Allah has given us the cure as well. That, think about it, Allah ta'ala says here. Think that, mashallah, maybe when you're young and you're enjoying yourself, but when you get old and you're close to retirement and retirement has passed, like for me it has, and we are still living our lives and the time is passing, we should at least have some difference in our lives. We should improve ourselves, or do we just stay the same as we were always? So Allah knows best, what are the illnesses and diseases within us? Where should we go? Where do we get the cure from? We don't have no worry. In our mu'ashara, in our society, there's no worry. If a person's lying, it's okay. No, he says that, it's okay. There's no difference between the truth and the lie. And if a person breaks the promise, this is nifaq. Nifaq, hypocrisy, creates this effect. I'm just coming. And then you don't know where he is. Oh, come to me tomorrow. And that tomorrow never comes. When these things come, then this is the sign of nifaq. In the book of Allah, nifaq has come into that person. Doesn't matter what that person is, what is his status. Yeah, the illness is there. It's present. And whatever maqam he has, rank, status, leadership, work of the deen, this is not what will be looked at. What will be assessed is this person a sick person or not. If you keep somebody as a driver, and he has to pass the test to become a taxi driver, they say, bring your medical certificate, please. We first need to see that you're medically fit and fit for purpose. Eye test, heart, liver, kidneys. functions of the organs. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that this sickness within you, that no, you think you won't be asked about this? You won't be questioned? You won't be challenged about this sickness within? Doesn't matter what you are, who you are. How sad that I am lying and I'm saying I'm a strong Muslim, I'm a good Muslim. Allah says you are munafiq and the nifaq is within you and you break the promise. You say, no, I pray my salah. I prayed in the front row, in the front saf, and I got the full reward. This has got nothing to do with it. Regardless, yes, you've earned the thawab, but where's the thawab gone? When it will be put on the scale of justice and nifaq will come on the other side, then the amal, those actions, they'll go high up because they'll be light and the sin will go low down because it's heavy. Nifaq. So then, where's the cure? Look at my status, my capacity to do good, but I overwhelm it with the bad. I should be pure and clean. When the angels come and they say, what did you send? You say, alhamdulillah. And don't worry about those on the earth. They'll say, what did you leave? Look at what you have left. Don't worry about what you're leaving behind. You should say, I've sent so much. That alhamdulillah, the angels come with a whole tribe and group to take you. That this man's VIP, he's rich. He's rich in hereafter. His palaces have been constructed in Jannah. Posh palaces and mansions and rivers are flowing for him. And he's got big homes and his rank and status in paradise. Straight, direct, that's where he's going to live. So the angels will come and treat you like a VIP, very important person. But we need to just make a bit of effort here. My brothers, tazkiyah, the situation with regards to purification. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Yuzakkihim wa yu'allimuhumu al-kitaba wal-hikmata wa yuzakkihim." The function of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the three things he delivered to the mankind, and Allah Ta'ala mentions is that my Nabi brought these three things: kitab wal-hikmah wa yuzakkihim. Alhamdulillah. There are some brothers, you brothers, are striving, making effort on this path. And but still we need to wake up and we need to judge ourselves, analyze ourselves. Am I lying? Am I breaking the trust of people? Do I break the promises? Am I a munafiq? Am I a hypocrite? Think, assess, look in the mirror, analyze. Just like a person's got the cold, oh, I need to go to the doctor, I get the medicine, I'm fed up, I'm sneezing and I've got pain in my body, and a person doesn't stop for a minute to run after the cure. So a person should think that if in the night I pass away, I will die as a munafiq. And there's nafaq, hypocrisy with me. So a person should never break the promise, the Muslim. Never should an insan, a human being, think that he's promised somebody and he's going to break the promise. Or he should have breached the trust, or he should lie. No. These are such things that in comparison to this, there's dunya. In opposition to this is dunya. Remember this. What is that? If we lie, we will earn dunya. Yeah? If we lie, we will earn dunya. And you can do business and lie and sell things and give things. And you say, I'll give you dalta, original, genuine butter. And it'll be something else. We say, oh, this is olive oil, but it'll be some other oil. And we put the stamps on, the labels on, and the money's coming in. No problem. But when you will depart, what will the people of the dunya say? What did you leave behind? Did you take something with you for benefit for the hereafter? And how did we earn in the world? Through lying. Through lying, isn't it? So we are, all the whole world is earning through lying, through breaking the promises, the whole world, and we are earning the dunya. And through this, if you lie, you won't get dunya, remember this. You won't get dunya when you will at that time be afraid and scared that where am I stuck now? What do I do to come out of this problem? Oh, everything's lost, everything's gone, I'm not progressing. This is the sign of a person who's correct. Because the things we don't need, why should we collect them and amass them? That they're not going with us. So this is the true sign, alhamdulillah, the true sign that the person's left the act of lying. So from lying, dunya will not come. You can amass as much money as you want, alhamdulillah, keep on counting, no worries. But how did you earn this money? Through lying, through deceiving, fraud, committing fraud, breaking the promises, breaking the pacts, commitments. Is that person an insan, a human being? Can he deserve to be called that? What status does that person have? Does he really have some status? And who makes him happy? The shayateen, they give him nice sweet sleep, make him feel enjoyment, satisfaction that he's got material goods. But what is that person? A munafiq. He's got hypocrisy within him. Hypocrisy. And we don't do the cure, then definitely this happens. The whole generation is lost in this. If you shake somebody's hand, and nowadays we see that we cannot trust anyone nowadays. We can't. In any field, It's hard to trust anyone. You get scared. Oh, you know, will he save me? Will he commit? Will he fulfill his commitment? Is he giving me the right thing? Is he giving me the right product? There's a danger. There's a threat. Oh, he's promised me. Will he give this on time? We promised that person, I will give you the money tomorrow. And all night long, you'll think that will he give or not? And he said to me, he's going to tell me. And when you ask him, oh, he said tomorrow. He did say tomorrow. And we still don't believe, we don't have any conviction that he will give. And this is the situation and the status of our iman. And this is the iman we have today, in the yaqeen we have today. This is our akhirah. Think about it. Think about it. And this is the fikr and the reflection for which we go to the walis of Allah, to their company, to finish our diseases, eliminate our diseases, that Allah give us the way out, the route. Out away from sin, give us a pure life, a nice life, save us from the lying and hypocrisy. There's a beautiful hadith, Allah, when I pass away, give me the pure death and an objective of life, and please call me to you without the destruction, without loss. And this is the mu'min's life. Life, if there is, it should be pure. Life should be pure and clean and detached from all diseases, spiritual more than physical. And when a person departs from this world, then he should have a nice death, a suitable death for the mu'min, for the believer. That Allah give me that nice, smooth death without the loss. And nobody should point fingers at me. He had to give me money. He did this fraud with me. He lied to me. And he's passed away. But he doesn't leave the dunya. He doesn't leave the dunya, does he? Because the deeds that we committed and we implemented, those people whose hearts were broken, who we committed excesses against, so how can we say that, oh, we've left the world and that's it, I'm detached from the world? No, there's still issues and memories after you. Can you say, I did this many hajj and umrah? Nobody will say that. They'll say, oh, he gave me loss. He gave me negative consequences due to his deeds. This is the difference here. So may Allah Ta'ala give us death and call us to himself without the loss. And we can only do this when we do our tazkiyah and purify ourselves with iman, with honesty. If we are munafiqs, then we should accept that we are munafiqs. We are hypocrites. That's when we get the cure. If I'm ill, then I should say that I'm ill and accept that I've got an illness. If I don't consider myself as an ill person, then how will I get the cure? Allah says, fine, carry on the way you are carrying. So this is how careful we have to be, that if I'm not even ill, sick, then I should think. As Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, what a great sahabi he was. And he said, oh, I'm a munafiq, I'm a munafiq. And he started shouting out. And the other sahabi said, why? Why are you saying that? And he said, I'm a hypocrite as well. When they exchanged each other, they experienced, and look at the maqam of the sahaba. They became so scared that who will decide upon this, our situation? We know this, you know this hadith is very famous. Who should decide? And then they eventually reached to the court of Rasulullah SAW that we are munafiq. They didn't say that, are we munafiq? They said, no, we've become munafiq. Rasulullah SAW, we've become munafiq. We're hypocrites. This is the teaching that we have to be very careful and cautious, the mu'min. We from top to bottom think we're pure when we're in, committing a sin, involved in sin. We say we're not munafiq. We are fine. We didn't commit any wrong deed, misdeed. Don't we say this? We do. My brother said, we said, no, I've got no link with the sins. I'm a very pure and upright and straightforward person. So how will I be cured? The life is passing. My age is increasing. The time is passing. Quickly, the letter will be received, the retirement letter. That leave the dunya. The people say, oh, detach, you're old now, your hair are white, you're not of use anymore, you can't work anymore, you can color and dye your hair. But the dunya, the people of the world will say, you're retired. You've gone beyond the age. You have no use practically to us. Go on holiday. And you can count as much as you want that you earned. And you can keep on doing the card, put the card in the machine, the ATM, to withdraw. Oh, please give me a job. How old are you? I'm retired. Oh, no, sorry. We can't do it. You're of no use to us. You go. There's a line after you, and many people like you. Would somebody give me a job after retirement? Will somebody give a job to a retired person? They say, oh, no, please go, you're free. And even if you get the job, maybe you'll get, they'll say, take a pound out of the 10 every hour, then we'll give you a job, pound an hour, £1 an hour. Just sit down there in the corner quietly. So this is the dunya showing us how the dunya deceives man. That dunya that used to elevate a person, put it on the high pedestal, give him the rank and status. He was famous, isn't it? He had body, he had that glamour. And he had that attraction and he was working. And when the age came, they said, sorry, you're retired now. When he goes back to the office where he's retired, they say, oh, move this baba away from here. Why is he coming to bore us? He keeps on coming here to drink tea. Subhanallah. We've seen this ourselves. I've seen this myself. That, subhanallah, that sometimes the people used to be in awe. Oh, now forget it. Why is he coming back now? He keeps on bothering us. Well, it was his office once upon a time. But the people are bored of him now. That he's in the way, he's an obstacle. So this is a lesson for us, my friends. So what should we do? We should, alhamdulillah, in parallel with our life that's passing by, we should do our islah, rectification. So there are three or four signs of the monafiq, hypocrisy. The signs of hypocrisy. Look, if I'm lying, If I'm lying, if I want to cure this, why am I lying? That do I break the trust of people if they give me something to safekeep or a secret or something? Do I break that? Or do I break the promises? This is direct nifaq. Direct. No. That I pray so much, I pray tahajjud and I've done dhikr with Hazrat Sahib. And these are the things that I need. I don't need to worry about my sins. Astaghfirullah. How can we say this? How can we say this? That me and you, when we do all of this, then why are these rules here? Why are these rules here? Why are these principles here? Because I'm a munafiq and I'm a hypocrite. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has prescribed the rules that if you sneeze, you've got a cold. If you sneeze, you've got a flu. And the doctor says you've got a cold and you say, no, I haven't got a cold. How can you say this, doctor? There are patients like this, arrogant. No. I'm fine. But all the symptoms you've got, they match with the flu. Maybe you've got cancer. We've analyzed the cancer there. The tumor's there. Accept it. No. I haven't got this. How can you say this? Okay, fair enough. You go away and think you're fine, but this will continue to spread. So this is how cautious we should be. Just like Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu gave us this lesson. What a great companion he was. Great rank. Highest rank of the Sahaba after Rasulullah, he was the greatest human being. The greatest. But when he had that slight doubt, is there nifaq within me? Hypocrisy? And then they went to check and ask him. We should be very careful. Today we are living in this day and age. The generation is passing fast. Don't be glad about your ibadah, worship. We need to emphasize on another line, which is safai, cleanliness. If you see something that's happening, which is not good actions in your life, think, what is this sin I'm committing? This sin is within me. That's why this result of nifaq has come to me. Run straight to your shaykh and say, Hazrat, give me the cure because I'm going towards the wrong. Some problem in my life, I'm committing sins, there's ill effect in my life due to my deeds. What's the reason for this? That's why the letter is written, dear Sheikh Saab, I'm very well, and very soon Jibreel Islam is going to come to get me and I'm going to go to the heavens and I'm successful. And what kind of writing is this? This is the reality that we have to look at ourselves truthfully, speak honestly. What is the state spiritually? I'm lying, my teacher, can you save me? Can you advise me? I do fraud, I cheat people. I do this and that. I say something, I do something else. 100 times a day I commit this sin, Hazrat. My Shaykh, I wear the libas. I've got the attire, the appearance of a Muslim, but the rest of my life is not very good. Oh, my tahajjud is good, my salah is good, my dhikr is good, and this is good. And what about, if you're good, then fair enough. You are released, you are discharged, you are the graduate, you are the master. And this is the situation today. The student thinks that he's achieved. So my brothers, nifaq. Hypocrisy is a bad disease. What can we do to cure hypocrisy? What can we do? Think, if I lie, if I break the promises, if I commit excesses, oppress, and I break the trust, and I argue with people that anger is on the tip of my nose, then what do I become? 100% what? Nifaq, hypocrisy. Hazrat Ka'ab radiyallahu anhu stated, may Allah please with that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam prescribed a solution, a cure. If I've got an illness, I take the tablet, the drug, then I'm hopeful that with Allah Ta'ala's grace and blessings and permission, the disease will go. So I'm inshallah hopeful, we are hopeful, we should be, that if we take the cure, the hypocrisy will go. And what is the cure that's being prescribed? Hazrat Ka'ab radiyallahu anhu said that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked us, and we asked, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave the cure, the solution for hypocrisy. That remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in abundance, high quantity. And this is what happens in the khanqah. In the khanqah, in the teaching center of the Shaykh. What do we need to do? Dhikr Allah, remember Allah in high quantity. Have we not read the Quran? لا يذكرون إلا قليلا. The munafiqs, their sign is that they don't do dhikr, but they very few times do they do dhikr. And they run from dhikr. They don't utter Allah Ta'ala's name from their mouth. They don't have that desire, the zest, the passion. The munafiq will never do dhikr. Never. The person who's got nifaq, high grade, he won't do dhikr either. And when you see him, then look at this point here. What an important point. In that heart, in that human being, there's no passion for dhikr. Doesn't have that desire. Doesn't have that fervor. And he's old and they laugh and they run away from dhikr. This is the sign of hypocrisy. But love is where a person runs to dhikr. Ishq. Love. Oh, okay, let's just do a tasbih. And then, I'll go to sleep. No, they sit from in advance of the gathering, alhamdulillah. And this is the feeling when a person has this, then subhanallah, everything he's got, time, health, everything, and the masjid is full. And today in this masjid there's dhikr of Allah, and everybody departs from the back, from the sides, from the doors. And what's the sign of this? I don't say this. The Quran explains to us. What is this? Is this called? These are those people who's in their hearts there's nifaq, they're munafiq. They go outside, argue, fraud, cheat, quibble, give divorce, and the fraud in the factory, in the office, in the shops, because, oh, I prayed Salah, I don't need to stay in the masjid. What are these people? Nifaq is in the heart. لا يذكرون إلا قليلا. Allah Ta'ala says that in their hearts there's one quality total that they run from my remembrance. They don't have that feeling, the attraction, the desire to do dhikr. Somebody has the desire, so much desire, and he doesn't have nifaq. He's running from home, he's waiting for morning, there's masjid, tonight there's dhikr, he's looking at the notification, okay, let's go, today the program's this time. They change their schedule, daily tasks, for what reason? What's this the sign of? Love for Allah Ta'ala's name. Allah Ta'ala has put into his heart, her heart, the love for Allah Ta'ala's dhikr. Nifaq has come out, nifaq comes out of the heart. Yeah? So Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told us that the cure, wahid, is kathiran dhikr, kathiran kathira. Quite quantity, my brothers. The illness is there. What should we do? Dhikr of Allah in abundance. High quantity. Regularly. Consistently. Shaitan, they put the waswasa in our hearts. In our minds. Doctor will say to you, the hair's the white and the yellow tablet and your blood pressure will reduce. And you look at the tablet and eat it. And do you say that, why isn't there the taste of an apple here or honey in this tablet? You just put the tablet quietly into your mouth and you've already got the glass of water, so that the tablet goes zoom through the throat into the stomach, so you can't taste that bitter taste on the tip of your tongue, on your taste buds. But you're taking the tablet with caution so that it goes through into the throat, down into the stomach, because you want to get rid of the problem. So Allah Ta'ala's name, we sit down, we say, there's no enjoyment, I can't feel this, I can't see the vision. My brothers, if the tablet will give effect and it's bitter, will Allah Ta'ala's name not give effect? 80%, 70%, I tell you rather, 99% people today don't do dhikr. I don't feel enjoyment. Oh, the tasbih, I can't feel enjoyment in it, I can't see any benefit. And they think that after dhikr, I should be high level spiritually, that I should do miraj the same night. Buraq is coming, I'm going in the night, ascending. These are people's minds, an image that has become common in people's minds. And where's that action? That we eat haram, drink haram, all our whole lifestyle is haram, framework is haram, visions haram, our desires are so high, unlawful. Think about it. And this is the beginning. And when we do a bit of dhikr, we say, oh, there's no effect. So when this happens in the beginning, when people come, alhamdulillah, there's a lot of happiness, and I keep looking and analyze and observe that I do dua, Allah, make this person steadfast. Shaitan's running after him. When I see that person's run away and shaitan has taken him, it's very sad at that time. And I see the tussle of that man, nafs and shaitan. He comes, passion, high passion. He's coming, learning dhikr, sitting, taking tasbih, asking me, coming to meet me. And especially, I speak to that person, give him tawajjuh, give that person time in the masjid. And I see and I observe that, mashallah, where's that brother? And then after that, I observe with time, slowly, Allah Ta'ala, he's now in your hand. Allah, give him the strength. I've taught him everything. Now shaitan and nafs will tussle with him, clash with him. And we see many people, shh, they disappear. Oh, I'm going on Umrah, Hajj. And when they say this, oh, I think he's gone. That person's gone. Subhanallah. That this person, he's gone. Allah Ta'ala will bring this person back. But many, mashallah, people who struggle and strive, mashallah, they come back. They've struggled, they've made an effort, and they've crushed their desires. Mashallah, there are people like this. This Allah Ta'ala selected the person. Just that first initial jolt and clash of shaitan, if you eliminate it, when that first attack of shaitan comes, it's strong, solid. And if you cross that bridge, then the rest of your life, you will not wilt, you will not shudder, you will not turn back, you will continue on the path. The question does arise that you will run back. The start is tough. It's a child, oh, no feeling enjoyment, the taste. Oh, this is good. Oh, this line's better. Let me do something else. I can't do dhikr. This is wasting my time. Oh, let's do other things. This happens in the beginning. Oh, Hazrat, can I go there? Can I go to this place? To that path or this? Then first I say, okay, go. Then I explain that. Look, listen, everything is good to go to. But first, become steadfast. Take a few breaths, deep breaths, and become steadfast. And I see this happens a lot of times, and I observe that when the person, he departs, then I leave. If he comes back or not, Allah Ta'ala knows best what to do. The first test of a person passes, then I don't worry after that. Then we consider that he's solid and he's passed the test. Then when I do dua for that person, Allah give him istiqamah, steadfastness. Allah put him on the path and let him prosper. Save him from the sins. Such a person, he is very successful. Then he tussles and clashes with shaitan, nafs, and he's coming, coming, coming. And this happens with everybody. Alhamdulillah, I'm hopeful that this continues. Everybody has experienced this in the beginning. Beware, beware. Stick to the path a day and say, it doesn't matter what happens, I'm not going to leave the dhikr of Allah. Hazrat Hakim al-Ummat, rahmatullah, remember his statement. Always my Hazrat, my Sheikh, rahmatullah, used to speak about the reference of Hazrat Hakim al-Ummat, whether you feel it like it or not, whether your health allows you or not, whether you feel like it or not, whether your emotions allow you or not, whether you've got wudu or not, but don't leave dhikr of Allah. Don't leave dhikr of Allah. Hazrat Haji Imdad, Abdullah Muhajjar Makki rahmatullah, he said, dhikr of Allah, how can you leave dhikr? How can you fall into this trap and have yaqeen that dhikr will not give you benefit? Oh, servants of Allah, think that if Allah Ta'ala's name will not give you benefit in this world, then nothing can give you benefit in this world. Nothing can give you benefit at all. Zero. Allah Ta'ala's name is so great, so powerful, that even if there's a person who doesn't have iman, he's 100 years old, and he says Allah's name with honesty, he comes into iman. He goes to paradise. Sudden. The effect is powerful. Immediate. We should be grateful we sat here. And this is the reason Allah Ta'ala's hikmah is great. If Allah Ta'ala gives you the taste and permission to recite His name, and then we wouldn't even be sitting here, we'd be jumping up and down. We wouldn't go to our shop, our wife, children, we wouldn't be worried about anything. The taste, if Allah Ta'ala's name comes into our hearts, we would say, leave me, I'm just going to do dhikr forevermore. That's it. That's how taste and beautiful and great is the name of Allah, that we cannot imagine that what is this name of Allah. It's so beautiful and enjoyable, and satisfaction is attained and contentment, the peace. If Allah gives the taste of His name, but Allah Ta'ala wants that He has dunya, He's got children, business, other pastimes, wife, family, He has to work. That Allah Ta'ala says, don't run towards my taste of my name. Just go towards my favor upon you and my blessings upon you, and have yaqeen that Allah will give me the taste. If I am 70 or 30 or 5,000 times or 30,000 times or 70,000 times I say Allah's name, and imagine you can't get the taste of saying Allah's name once, and here Allah Ta'ala cannot give us that taste, we could not absorb it. We cannot absorb the name of Allah. But when we depart from here, then we will see in Jannah, you will see in Jannah the taste of Allah Ta'ala's name. And so much, the amount of times you said Allah's name in this world, that is the amount of time Allah Ta'ala will give you the reward. There you will be able to absorb the taste and enjoyment of Allah Ta'ala's name. Allah will give you the power and the energy. Then you'll enjoy it. You say, oh, I wasted my time, I made mistakes, I should have done more tasbihs. More tasbihs. That Allah Ta'ala says, all of the ni'mas of the world that you shun, Allah says, I'll give you everything in hereafter. Allah says, you cannot imagine, your mind, intellect cannot reach there. All of the ni'mas of the world cannot even reach to the 0.01% of the ni'mas of the hereafter of paradise. Nothing can reach to that. So don't fall into this trap. Don't run after this trap and have this delusion or deception. Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, his event, a story, I remember there was a padri, priest, you know, like at those times they were like the monks who used to stay in the monastery, and people like who used to create the khankas and stay in the mountainside, and they didn't have the wife or children. But we follow the sunnah of Rasulullah that live in the dunya and remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the sunnah of Rasulullah. But those times we had people who would live that such life. When Hazrat Musa passed, and he was the Nabi of his time, the Prophet, and he did dua to Allah, he said to Musa, do dua to your God for me. What dua shall I do? Said Musa. He said, please do dua that Allah Ta'ala allow some splashes of His love to come into my heart. Hazrat Musa, is it? Okay, I'll do dua for you. Allah, this man, your servant, your ashik, he's saying that Allah, show me the splash, the example of your love. As Allah said, he asked this from you to do dua. Okay, you are my Nabi. You've done dua to me. But see what will be his hal, what he has asked from me. Look at the conclusion. So Hazrat Musa did dua. And he continued, when he came back, he had to pass by there. He saw the mountain had fallen, broken into pieces. And the khanka was not there, and that man was there, his mouth was open, eyes open, his feet and hands, he's there lying there bare on the ground. And Allah Ta'ala said, this is it, I just showed him one speck of my muhabbat and my love, and he could not absorb it. That was the power. So this is the reward, and Allah Ta'ala has kept it where? Aha, now you understand today. You understand today, here we have to do work. The rewards you cannot attain here. Remember this, there's a great reward, you cannot attain it. Alhamdulillah. Say everyone, Alhamdulillah, that we remember Allah. If you remember Allah, you can't remember from here. You cannot remember Allah from anything. How do we remember Allah? If you remember Allah, you remember Allah with His name. Not any attribute, Ya Qadir, Ya Malik. No, we don't go on the Sifat, we go direct. Allah Ta'ala says, for the Naqshbandi silsila, the Naqshbandi order, the teaching, Allah Ta'ala says, you've got the power that you can recite my name. So what this means is that after coming to the Naqshbandi silsila, this chain of teaching, of purification, Allah says, I give you the powerful path that you can recite my name directly. Go, there's no boundary. And you can recite my name as much as you want, and you'll be able to absorb it. But can anybody really absorb Allah Ta'ala's, the effect of His name? I've seen the khankas. People, that how they used to tremble and cry and shudder by reciting the name of Allah. I saw with my eyes, "Oh Allah, Allah, Allah." They used to cry, they used to tremble and shake, they used to feel the effect of Allah's name. This was their environment, this was their purity. So brother, is this not enough for us? That such a great reward Allah Ta'ala is giving to us, He has given to us, and we make fuss. We complain, what a punishment for them. "Oh, I don't feel like it. Oh, no, I'm busy. Oh, I come from here. Oh, sit down. Oh, Blackburn, how can I come here? Bradford." Oh, so that generation, alhamdulillah, our dhikr, or not dhikr, mashallah, from London. People would come, brothers would come, alhamdulillah, to the Khanqah. They would sit, they wouldn't stay there overnight. No, they would come. Yeah, you know them, mashallah, they're sitting. All the brothers, they were eating all the chapatis from the Khanqah. These brothers, they used to come, they used to do dhikr. You know this, our dhikr is quite long, with the fadl of Allah when I speak, and mashallah dhikr, then we don't realize, and dhikr is long, then you don't feel like getting up. The same way, they have to go work in the morning, and someone's an engineer, someone's a doctor, someone's this and that, and great big departments, professional, someone's in the police, everyone, mashallah, going back to work the next morning, fresh in the morning, they're giving their duty 8 a.m. in the morning. Subhanallah. This is called dhikr, the love for the dhikr of Allah. And this is the qawm, Allah Ta'ala has created such a nation. They never said, "We don't feel enjoyment, oh, I don't feel this, I don't see this." What's this? "I don't have time." Is this this? That where is dhikr happening? What time? Where are they going? No, they're just running after it. And these brothers did this as well, mashallah. 60, 70 brothers from this locality. And not less, they're all ashik from here as well. And they are still, mashallah. So what is this? This is dhikr. Allah Ta'ala's remembrance. And they don't come for me to see me, etc. They come for Allah. That's it. Allah Ta'ala's remembrance. MashaAllah, the person falls in love with Allah. And such a great name, then will nifaq stay? No way. And what will come in replacement of nifaq hypocrisy? Allah's remembrance will come. Allah's love will come. And doing nothing, don't have to, we're going to pass away in the same way with nifaq. We don't want to do dhikr. And one ibadah Allah Ta'ala has given to us, we think, "Oh, I'm successful." What? Look about you. Look inside yourself. What's inside? How to leave lying? Is this not fard? If salah is fard, Mawlana sahab, mashallah, there are various Mawlana sitting here. Tell me if I'm wrong, that if salah is fard, compulsory, then is it not fard to leave the action of lying? Is it not fard? Is it not compulsory? That we are committing, we are implementing one fard, and we are denying the other fard. We don't even look towards it. Tell me, what's this? Is it not fard, compulsory, to leave raya, pride, lying, fighting with the nafs is fard, doing tazkiyah is fard? Is fard on every individual. Compulsory. But we don't know anything about this fard. This compulsory action. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. What should we do? Do dhikr of Allah in abundance. That's it. Grab hold of dhikr. Inshallah, all the sicknesses, spiritual diseases will be eliminated and will be removed. Allah Ta'ala's love will come. We are doing dhikr here. There's nothing else to do. Or look, am I getting something? Is it sweet or bitter? What do I feel? And my heart, I'm floating on in the sky. No, this is a test from Allah. Totally, Allah Ta'ala is saying the shaitan will come, try to influence you. Stand up, get up from here. Don't do dhikr anymore. You're wasting time. Why are you going so far? Shaitan will make you stand up. Nafs will take you away from this path. And it will make you run away. No, don't listen to shaitan. Don't accept his invitation. No, dhikr. No, I don't need the taste. I'm waiting for when I'll get it there. But if we don't take the taste there, then we won't get the reward there. So do we want to be like that man who wants the taste here? And he doesn't get in the hereafter. This is the hikmah of Allah. A person who wants the taste, tell me now. Never think about taste, enjoyment, a beautiful feeling. Allah Ta'ala's name. Why are we entering into that arena that I need enjoyment and peace? How can we think that there's no benefit of dhikr of Allah? There's no taste and enjoyment. How can we even think about this? Mawlana Rumi Rahmatullah said, this is mashallah one of his poems. Subhanallah. I can't remember the exact words, that how a beautiful your name of Allah. How beautiful is the name of Allah. That is one of those people who used to lie. He said, "Allah, when I recite your name, then my whole body and every atom and cell, it melts by reciting your name. Totally warm and melt. And so beautiful is your name, Allah, that when I recite your name, every portion, every cell and atom and cell of my body becomes so warm and it melts. And it's so much enjoyment, I feel so great, that what honey I'm consuming, what sweet I'm consuming. Once when I say your name, Allah," he said, once. So sometimes the walis of Allah, Allah Ta'ala gives us, me and you, well, we're sitting here playing the game, I need enjoyment, taste. Allah Ta'ala gives sometimes the taste to his wali, to his friend, for them to understand and appreciate, because they spend their whole life and without the taste, then they don't need the taste. But sometimes Allah lets them in the corner, the portion of the night, okay, here, give him a bit of enjoyment. And then they speak and say these things. Otherwise, when they say, do you think they'd say such things without any backing? Then we give fatwa, "Oh, he's speaking nonsense, bid'ah, shirk. Show me the hadith. Where does it say that when you do dhikr, this happens, etc.? And then the angels, they bring the good news for that person. Allah Ta'ala, at a certain time, they have an experience, a feeling, some inspiration. Nothing wrong with that. It's from Allah. Allah gives the taste. Allah Ta'ala, look at the benefit of Allah's name and the enjoyment that my whole body melts. It feels like warm, like honey sweet. That's how beautiful is Allah Ta'ala's name. How beautiful is Allah Ta'ala's name. Okay, understood? So we are solid on the path of dhikr? Yes, come to dhikr. Now don't think, do I enjoy or not? What do we need to think? That we're doing dhikr for this reason, Allah, to eliminate nifaq. And when nifaq comes out, we'll become honest and we won't be liars anymore. We won't break the promises and we won't breach the trust. We won't breach the trust. We won't be greedy. We won't oppress. And we will take the assistance of your name and eliminate all these things. And the rest of enjoyment, inshallah, we'll meet Allah, with your permission, we'll meet in there. Often we cannot speak here, we don't have that status. That's how we should speak to Allah. Allah, I want to remember you, and I want to get the reward in hereafter, and so I can meet you. Allah Ta'ala loves us. He says, speak to me. Allah gives us time. He's given us time to speak to Him. We can dial Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. We can dial. In the morning, tahajjud time, before Fajr, read Surah Ar-Rahman, recite it, pray Surah Ar-Rahman, and then recite, then speak to Allah. But be pure and clean. There should be no haram and lawful, and you should have true and honest and pure lawful earnings going into your stomach that's giving you the energy, and then speak to Allah and see if the answer comes or not. Allah Ta'ala said Himself that I call out to you. Has Allah Ta'ala not said this? I'm calling out to you. And yes, but there's dirt in our ears, isn't it? Like sometimes when the ears block, you go to the doctor and then he takes the syringe and sucks out the dirt. Oh, I can hear everything. Yeah, yeah. So when the dirt comes out the ear, then Allah Ta'ala calls out, then we'll hear. We will listen. That's it. Totally. And various pious elders in tahajjud, they said, we heard Allah Ta'ala wake us up. Allah's calling. Why don't you get up? Why are you not waking up? And I've seen walis of Allah like this physically, alhamdulillah, who have heard Allah Ta'ala's call at tahajjud. Allah Ta'ala says, this is the call, the announcement, the invitation. Wake up, wake up. I've come, I'm close to you. Seek my forgiveness, salvation, maghfira. Ask for halal rizq. Why do you take haram rizq? I will give you fresh, fresh rizq, fresh chapati, fresh fruit, fresh chicken. Why do you go towards haram? Come to me and ask for me direct. I will send you rizq, the wealth from Jannah. You won't need to go towards haram and to lie and to do unlawful things. But we don't want to ask Allah at that time. And then we go and run after haram all life long and day, and we eat haram ourselves and feed the children haram because we want to see our children practice shaitani. What will they become? They'll become like shaitan. How can they be insan? The whole system, A to Z, Allah has given us the life, the framework of how to pass the life, my brothers. And in no deen, no religion will you see this. That's why I stated that this deen, Islam, is honest and true. No part of your life, second, will there be that you don't attain guidance. For every single facet of life, A to Z, morning, night, everything, 24 hours. Make one promise, Allah, that I am going to follow my life according to the syllabus that you have prescribed, and you will live your life smooth and easy, satisfactorily. Is this not the case? Yes. Okay, let's go towards dhikr of Allah. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq that we do dhikr, so we can eliminate our diseases. Ameen.